Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with Leighton Meester, who will be performing February 18th at the Birchmere in Alexandria, Virginia. Leighton, thanks for joining us on WTOP.
Thank you.
So have you been to D.C. before? Is this your first time here?
I have one time when I was 11 years old. I was driving. It's been like a few years. I was driving with my family on a road trip from Florida to New York for the summer, and we were like, let's stop in D.C. And I remember having a lot of fun. We walked around for a really long time, and it was a wonderful memory. I shouldn't even mention the bad part of the memory, which is barely there anymore. But
you should mention it.
No, and now I've built it up too much. Basically, I just wore like really the wrong shoes and like walked around for a really long time, and the entire rest of the summer when I was in New York, which is not a fun place. Like my feet had blisters all over them. So I had to deal with my D.C. feet for a long time.
Yeah, the monuments, it's deceptively spread out. You know, you think everything's on the National Mall, but when you get down there and walk around, it's actually quite a hike. Do you remember what shoes they were?
They were these, we did a lot of Payless kind of, like, white. I feel like they, like, kind of look like Keds, maybe. Maybe they were Keds. One of those. But I think that they actually were the shoes that didn't have backs.
Oh, gotcha.
Remember those? That they look kind of like clogs.
Yeah.
Cloths. Do you, though? Do you remember?
Oh, yeah. I remember them. I definitely remember them.
Yeah, it was like instead of like standing, like stepping on the backs of your shoes, because you know when you're just too lazy to put your shoes all the way on, they just take that part off for you.
Exactly. So yeah. Are you excited to come back in a different form, in different shoes, to play music here now?
I'm wearing the same shoes.
Oh, you better.
Yeah, I'm so excited, and it's our first show of the tour, and it's just going to be so much fun. I'm really, really excited, and, I put the record out late October, and I've just been really pleased with it, and we've been doing, a lot of rehearsals, and we had a residency in L.A., which is just basically like playing, every Tuesday of the month for the month of January, and so we've gotten some good practice in, and we've formed the band, and I'm really excited to play for people who have heard the record, and also for people who haven't. So,
yeah, I mean, let's talk about those different people. Some who, your hardcore fans have heard it, and some maybe haven't. So I know like pop music fans probably know you from your work that you did with, you're collaborating with Robin Thicke or Cobra Starship. But how did you go from that to start writing folk pop? Like, how did you choose that route?
I didn't really choose it. I think what kind of happened was just sort of a combination of I wasn't crazy about my record deal at the time. I think I never truly felt comfortable or happy or really in love with the music that I was making before. I think, I was really young. It was fun. It was like I got a record deal and they're like, okay, so this is what you're going to do.
Right.
Which is cool because you're sort of being pushed to do it, which is also good sometimes, and it can be lucrative and really fun, and I was young, but then I think just after that, I had always been writing. If I could envision myself making any kind of music on my own, it would always be this record and this sound, and put together in this way. It took a long time, but this is it. And, it really was just like, I had been writing and, started doing everything by myself, really, just playing for myself and not thinking like, oh, I have to get in a studio with such and such producer because the label's putting me with this person and
right.
I have to collaborate with this person. Although I love all my like collaborations and everybody that I've worked with, prior.
Sure.
But really just sitting with myself and having no self-judgment or worrying about like if it's going to sell or if people are going to hear it or relate to it or care or dance to it or whatever. and just kind of traveling with my guitar and having it there is a source of inspiration and being able to just like use it as a tool for songwriting by myself and not relying on anybody else. And then So there was that, and then ultimately, you know, meeting a producer who could meet my vision and excitement about, you know, the sound that I wanted to create for the record, and then a label who could also really get behind me in that way and support me putting it out myself. And so it all really is just a much better scenario for me. So that's kind of how it happened.
Just total creative freedom on this one.
Yeah.
When you sit and look at the album, do you have a certain song where you're like, damn, I did really good on that one. I'm most proud of that one.
I feel like I'm really proud of the record as a whole. I think it's a cohesive sort of story coming from at least my point of view, from a specific time and just sort of an unpacking of experiences that all kind of add up for mm-hmm. me personally. There are a few that are a little bit more complex, which I really love. I think.
Which ones are you thinking?
Well, I think L.A. is one of my favorite ones.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like end middle of the record, and it was always just one of those kind of happier, sort of melodic, fun, chimey songs. But the lyrics don't match that at all, even though they sound very sunny. It was like very sarcastic and really just kind of like lonely and desperate, and does not match the happiness sound of the song. So that probably is one of my favorites that I was like, man, that's good.
If I must say so myself. How about, you know, when Leighton Meester is trying to get her musical influences from elsewhere, you know, what other artists have inspired you and your sound, do you think? If you were, you know, to step outside your body and analyze yourself and your own music, I mean, is there any artists from the past that you grew up listening to that inspire your music, or any artists, you know, current artists, past or present, that help shape it?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think that I'm still inspired even now as far as live and kind of what I want to pinpoint for different sounds and what we recreate on stage, even now, you know, current people. But the artists that I grew up listening to, I'm sure, had no small role in, you know, at least just giving me a sense of the sound and maybe the openness to songwriting and the process for that. I grew up with, you know, Bonnie Raitt and mm-hmm. Joni Mitchell, Neil Young, Tori Amos and Kate Bush, Stevie Nicks, like, you know.
All the greats.
I obviously said a couple of men in there, but I think like a lot of the time, like female singer-songwriters, or at least people who are singer-songwriters who are, I think it's like a combination of being connected to their child, the child in them, and mm-hmm. and the insecurity and loneliness and the feeling of like, you know, I guess too, for me, especially in songwriting, I try to utilize, or at least I just end up with songs like that that are very ironic. It's like I'm like, okay, I'm going to write a happy love song. And it's like, I love you, but not too much. And, you know, it's like, I need you, but go away. You know, it's like, I can't just quite, it's definitely, the record itself is about loving, but, you know, being guarded in that love and always worrying maybe that you won't be loved back. And you know, and I think within that there's my, where I found my own strength, you know, and that's probably where the songs came from.
Gotcha. You've definitely kind of, you know, pivoted your career. You know, everyone remembers Gossip Girl on TV. You've done, you know, movies like Country Strong. But you seem to kind of dabble with a lot of different things. I mean, you were on Broadway with James Franco of Mice and Men. Seeing as you're kind of going in a more musical route, would you ever consider doing a Broadway musical?
You know, it's so funny when I was doing that play. I mean, I probably was asked that like every other day. You know, I wouldn't say never. I think it was such a, it was the craziest experience. It was so fun and so emotional. I mean, it's definitely not easy material, I think was a big part of the fact that I was sort of drained emotionally. And towards the end, I was like, oh my God, this is the hardest thing I've ever done. I think maybe I'll try a comedy next time, but I, and I was really blessed with wonderful material. I mean, it couldn't be a more perfect play and
Steinbeck,
and a more meaningful story and role. And I couldn't have been luckier with that. But as far as singing 8 times a week, like live, I don't know. I mean, it would truly have to be something that I like, because I don't love all musicals. I'm not just like a musical buff.
Sure.
You know, I like some that I've seen, but I'm not just like, oh God, put me in
anything.
I can't think of a reference, but you know, that kind of thing.
Gotcha.
I don't know.
You know, I'm sure you go on a million interviews and people say, oh, tell me about Gossip Girl, or tell me about what this and the other thing you've worked on. How do you keep it, you know, your career focused in this new direction? I mean, do you try to not talk about those other things, you know, try to like, this is my new path, or is it all woman of many talents sort of approach?
Well, I try not to talk about certain things. I mean, I think probably Gossip Girl and personal life stuff is difficult,
yeah,
because those are the things that people want to bring up the most.
Immediately.
And it's not like really anybody's fault. I think just as a journalist, or if you're writing a story, it's like, oh, what can we say that's going to grab people or going to be easiest to make a through line for? It's like, you do music. Would so-and-so your character like this music? It's like,
right.
All right, you know.
It's almost lazy, yeah.
Which I get it, but I think it's probably always going to be, you know, talked about, or people are always going to ask questions, or they're going to be curious or want to know, or just, you know, whatever. And I think if I keep it limited and sort of move forward and be like, yeah, this is my taste now, and this is what I want to do, and this is what I think is good. And so, you know, I'm sure that over time it'll probably be less.
Sure.
You know, maybe at some point, but you know, it's by no means anything bad. Everything that I've done up until now, I'm really proud of and happy for and grateful for. But I think, yeah, it's like I'm doing things now that I, and also, you know, not to mention the fact that, you know, a lot of people, you know, were coming, I'm sure, to see Of Mice and Men on Broadway, because they were like, oh my God, you know, it's me and James Franco. And they weren't necessarily like, I love Steinbeck. You know?
Right. You use those other things to, you know, bring them to this other material. So it can be useful.
Exactly.
All right. Well, hey, thanks so much for joining us. Hopefully you wear, you know, some more comfortable shoes this time you come here, because we don't want you blistering up. We want better memories of DC this time around.
Oh my God. No, I'm so excited. And yeah, thanks for having me.